chose not to vote. One of my old classmates posted a photo of a bad guy getting hanged with the sign saying, this nigga on my page.
Oh!
So he was saying,
see, you say it. You did not do your
own. You want to sit right
we
here?
We can take a whole nother.
I'm saying,
what
was your
we can take right a whole nother.
Yeah, I mean, it was good.
And then we'll talk about it. Oh my God. This is so good.
Yeah, it's so terrible.
Thank you, Lord. I should not be eating this. I am on a diet.
But you know what I was worried about? You know, after I make that post, after I make that post, I'm sitting there, I'm like, man, is it really worth it to make a post? Because the guy that called me a coon, I'm like, you know, at the end of the day, it's not about who wins the presidency, but
tune in to Refresh Radio with Regina Johnson.
Who is Regina Johnson? Regina
Johnson. Author, pastor, motivational speaker, and life coach.
Regina is inspirational,
motivating others to live out their purpose.
Regina is
passionate, tenacious, and relentless about helping others fulfill their destiny. Her goal is to bring a refreshing to someone's life. Join us every Sunday, 7 p.m. Eastern, 6 p.m. Central, right here on Never Had It So Good Sports Media Network. Dial in to share your heart with Regina at 657-383-0309. That's 657-383-0309. And remember that Regina says,
we all know you really haven't failed until you stop trying. If I want to be to people what others have been to me. And so that's really the purpose of Refresh, is the end of the day for people to feel refreshed.
So call in at 657-383-0309. That's 657-383-0309. You'll be blessed by her wisdom, strategies, and encouragement. That's Refresh Radio with Regina Johnson, a Never Had It So Good Sports Media Network.
Good evening. I'd like to welcome you to Refresh. This is Regina Johnson. I am your host. I'm so glad that you have tuned in to be with us today. We have a very interesting topic with a kind of a different kind of a twist. We're going to be talking about the presidential elections, or actually, it's actually done. It's a done deal. But we're going to be talking about just the reactions from those that chose to vote, some that actually chose not to vote. And we're going to talk about really what are we going to do from here? What are we going to do from here? Today I had a wonderful conversation. For those of you that don't know, I'm a senior pastor of a church called the Father's House in Conroe, Texas. I'm going to give it a quick shout out. And so my goal always is to try to make sure that we keep the house balanced. Different people with different opinions, different political parties, but how can we work together? But before we move on with that, and let me say this, I understand that there are a lot of people that are frustrated. They were frustrated before the elections. They're frustrated now after the elections. But, you know, we still have to live and keep moving forward. And so I want to just tell those of you that are listening, just take a deep breath and breathe. It's going to be all right. Today I have some really wonderful people that are going to be here with me today, a part of the show. Marquis Sneed, you might remember him from last season. He was in on a show that where we talked about the relationship of parents and with his father and so on and so forth. But also we have Anthricia McWashington is also here with us, and she is was here and has discussed numerous topics with us. And so I want to welcome both of you to the show. And a little bit later, we're going to have Yolanda Creamer. She's going to join us, and we're just going to discuss what's been going on. So welcome to the show, guys.
Thank you for having us, Pastor.
I am so glad to have you guys here with me today. Today, actually, I'm going to tell you the truth. I was like, I'm a little nervous about talking about it because people are really reacting in a different kind of way. I don't know if I really noticed it as much with President Obama. I mean, if I am wrong, then correct me, but I don't remember all of this. Now, we are talking about, like, we're hearing people talk about assassinate him, and, I mean, I take that back, I did hear that a little bit with President Obama, but, I mean, they are just, like, off the chain. It is as if it is their only hope. Marquise, I want you to kind of come right in, because you were sharing something right before we came on the air about you. Now, you... Most people say you don't have a right to say anything because you did not, what?
Vote.
Yeah. You didn't vote, man. So I know somebody's screaming like, why in the world do you even have him on the show?
Yeah.
I think it's important that you're on the show because I need for you to really kind of share the conflict that was going on, but what even you encountered when you shared that you did not vote.
Yeah.
Marquise, go ahead.
Yeah, well, so when I decided not to vote, I actually kind of put it out on Facebook, you know, and social media to just kind of bring some enlightenment and give, you know, some opportunity for people to open up for discussion. And when I actually decided to make the post on Facebook that I did not choose to vote, I just got a lot of backlash. I mean, there's like 35 comments on that post of just people from different, you know, viewpoints. Some people were, you know, they thought it was a good choice. Other people, you know, voice their opinion, like, hey, you need to have your voice heard, you know, from their perspective. And but it was a bit extreme. I was surprised by some of my old classmates and teammates in particular who you know, kind of ostracized, you know, my own political voice.
Hang on one second.
Yes, ma'am.
Before you go any further, I meant to mention this before. We're going to give a shout out to Panera Bread on 242 in the Woodlands, Texas. If you're hearing like a lot of stuff going on in the background, that's what's going on. There are people being fed and served here at Panera. So a quick shout out to Panera Bread. Go ahead. So you're saying that some of your friends actually kind of, what, or did they actually ostracize you?
Yeah, I mean, it was pretty chaotic on social media. I call it, I think I got crucified on social media.
Okay,
I got crucified on social media because it was a big deal because this election, I think in particular, mainly because I'm old enough to understand it.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? We're not kids anymore. For us, people my age, it was just kind of a great opportunity to do something, make a vote or to not make a vote, but. But yeah, I was getting ridiculed, killed on social media.
Okay, you keep saying that. Give us some examples.
One of my teammates that I played with at Sam Houston State, he actually made a post. He put a picture on my post having a black guy in the 1950s being hanged and having a sign on his chest saying,
saying
this nigga voted. And so it was mainly from some people's perspective, it was coming from the point of like, hey,
people gave their lives
for this opportunity. And so why aren't you voting
yeah.
or doing your so political American duty to cast a ballot?
Well, before we go any further, why did you feel the need not to vote?
You know, after months and months of gaining knowledge on the policies that both of the candidates and other candidates were going to implement, you know, into the presidential campaign, I felt like I wasn't comfortable, nor was I prepared to vote for two candidates that I didn't agree with on political issues, nor did I agree with their character. And so I decided not to vote because I felt like it was my own political aggressive voice, you know, to say, hey,
I don't agree with either.
And I feel like that it was too lukewarm to compromise.
Okay.
And I feel like as an American, you stand up for what you believe in, regardless if you got to go against the grain.
Right.
And so I chose not to vote because I feel like for me to compromise and say, hey, I'm just going to choose this person just because I have the right to vote that our ancestors fought for, I don't think that's good enough.
Okay, all right. So you have a picture on Facebook?
Yeah. It's still up
there. You still have it on Facebook?
Still up there, yeah.
You didn't take it down?
I didn't take it down.
Okay, all right.
I thought it was good, you know, for people to see.
You were actually taking a stand.
I felt like I was taking a stand.
Yeah. Wow. Wow, you saw us both.
And I was like, do your thing, bud.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I was really proud of you.
Appreciate
and
that.
And I read all the comments, and I chose not to comment. Oh, anyway. I was just saying, I read all the comments. I read the views from both perspectives.
Right.
And it was very interesting.
It was
almost comical. I laughed on both sides. I was like, really? Do we even stop to think about the things that we say before
exactly.
we say it?
Exactly.
Or do we just say things out of emotion?
Right.
Because
I think
sometimes
that
it requires you to think about what
to think about
what
you
got
to
say.
I think with this election, just like, but even more so with this one, it was really emotion driven.
There was a lot
going on right
there.
Oh my
God.
There was.
Can I tell you? Go back to
your.
Yolanda,
I want to welcome you to
the
show. You came on
in.
Right. Go ahead. That's all right. And we'll come back to you in just a second, Marquis, because I want you to tell something else that was also posted on your page. Go ahead.
Ooh. Good thing I didn't post anything.
Right.
But it was funny. Coming back from California, and coming from a red state, a very red state,
mm-hmm.
And then being in a very blue state,
mm-hmm.
Seeing the perspective of people,
mm-hmm.
Both Christians and non-Christians alike,
mm-hmm.
Seeing how they interpreted our candidate
mm-hmm.
Character.
Mm-hmm.
And seeing the things that they were standing for, I had the opportunity of becoming really close friends with a family in California
mm-hmm.
who were a Republican family
mm-hmm.
and a Christian family, and they just watched CNN every night. It was like ridiculous. I was like, I cannot do that.
Right.
Y'all doing the absolute most
right
now.
Right.
But they watched every night, and she, the spouse was from Brazil.
Mm-hmm.
So she was a foreign transplant.
Uh-huh.
And he was American from, Michigan.
Right.
Somewhere like in like the
Midwest.
Very Midwest.
Yeah. Right.
Very Caucasian state.
Right.
And I'm saying that because his life was changed based on the marriage to his wife.
Mm-hmm.
And her grandmother was African-American.
Mm-hmm.
And she told me a story. Well, she wasn't African-American. She was just black because she's
mm-hmm.
from Brazil.
Right.
But she doesn't look black at all.
Mm-hmm.
You would not know that
mm-hmm.
she was
mm-hmm.
or her children
mm-hmm.
Were from any African descent or any black culture at all.
Mm-hmm.
And she said that when he came to visit her,
mm-hmm.
She introduced him to her grandmother.
Mm-hmm.
And her grandmother just burst out in tears and said, "Oh, my God, you're not embarrassed of me. You would introduce me to your husband."
Wow.
And she said, "Why would you think that? You're my grandmother." And from even that culture, you know, not just from the American culture, but even from that culture, having a darker tone of skin
mm-hmm.
or being black
uh-huh.
meant something.
Uh-huh.
It meant that you were different.
Right.
And it was just really ironic to hear her even say that, because I would have never known.
Right.
And she said, "This is different for me because
during this election. Okay, go ahead.
Because although I am
mm-hmm.
Republican and our family is Republican,
uh-huh.
I cannot stand behind knowing that there is a bias in culture with this candidate.
Okay.
And I can't stand behind it. I can't stand behind the hateful things that he says, because
uh-huh.
I know what's behind that hateful voice."
Uh-huh. Uh-huh.
And that was her thing. She said, "I can't stand behind hate."
Right.
And I see that that's what's there. And it was just very different seeing that from a different perspective.
How did it, from your perspective, just affecting you as an individual, just watching everything, you know, play out, how did it affect you? And not as an African-American, but how did it affect you as an American?
I'm going to say that It affected me watching division that I already knew was there.
Uh-huh.
Does that make sense?
Mm-hmm.
Just really blatantly come out.
Right.
It affected me in that sense because I knew that there was already a certain amount of division that people will hide.
Right, right, right.
And I think it gave people a whole lot of courage to be who they were already.
Oh, wow.
And to say what they already wanted to say.
Wow.
And that's a scary thing.
Wow.
But it's a good thing, too. I
but
think.
See, this is not...
I love that it came out.
It wasn't like on one side or the other because this comment that came to you, Marquise,
right.
actually came from someone that was actually an African American just like you.
Right, right.
And what did he call you?
He called me a European coon.
What?
He called me a coon. Yeah. On he didn't actually put that on my post as a comment, but
he sent you a private message?
No, he didn't. He posted on Facebook for everybody that did not vote. So basically it was targeted
right.
at myself and other
and everybody
people.
Else.
Everybody else, yeah. But I think that just for myself, I think I didn't want to be caught up into what people's persona, well, not perceived, not persona, but perspective or box of what American duty
mm-hmm.
is, you know, and that's just, like I said, voting. But and I think I thought for myself, I've laid out everything, you know,
right.
and
right.
read up on stuff and just gathering
right.
information. And I feel like that, well, you know, what really tickled me was the... how each candidate was ridiculed and ostracized throughout the whole election process.
Right.
And then immediately, once the election is going on, people are actually running out and voting, but you never heard really anything positive about
either
candidate. And so, but now that I chose not to agree with, I thought this was what everybody was agreeing with. You know, but for me,
you know, like you got left out.
Yeah,
like
but,
y'all pumped me up.
Right. Well, really, I mean, it's my own, you know, my own thought process. But it's funny, though. It's like, how can everybody, it's like everybody just.
Everybody hated both
of you.
Then you just
choose one. I'm like, okay, well.
Now
yeah,
I'm the reason.
Well, now I'm the reason. So, it was pretty hilarious. I'm like, okay,
I'm going to tell you what. I felt like you felt from day one. Like, from the very first day. I was like, I can't.
Where do you go?
As a Christian, I can't do this. As an African American, I can't do this.
Right.
And
as an
a
American
person,
right. Yeah.
As a person,
right.
forget everything
right.
else.
Right.
For me and what I inherently
right.
want,
right.
I can't stand behind this.
Right.
Well, I'm going to, you know what, we're going to have to take a quick break, but my thing is just quickly is that, you know what, I don't want this to be a time of division.
Right.
When there are so many, not only did people die, for us to have the right to vote, whether we were women, whether we were African Americans, whether we were Hispanic, whatever it was, but they fought for unification.
Right.
We think
right.
about Martin Luther King and so that we could all just,
yeah.
you know, he said, I have a dream.
Right.
He didn't say I had a nightmare that we would just like one day be cussing each other out
right.
and doing all kinds of craziness. So we're going to come back in just a few seconds. We'll take a quick break. You have been listening to Refreshed. I am Regina Johnson, your host. Be back in a moment. The Word of God is true. And if He says that He will never leave us, if He says that He is perfecting the things concerning us, then you best believe that He is. We serve an awesome God who loves us more than we could ever imagine. So to my brothers and my sisters, let's gut it up. Because the outcome is going to be great.
Don't miss Refresh with Pastor Regina Johnson. Every Sunday, 7 p.m. Eastern, 6 p.m. Central.
Quick question. What is your kryptonite? You know, kryptonite, like from the Superman movie. Little pieces of krypton that would fall to the earth, and then Superman would come in contact with it. Kryptonite. Okay. Small pieces of your past falling into your future, robbing you of your destiny. Kryptonite? What is yours? Is it the person down the street, you know, who so conveniently always is willing to remind you of who you used to be before you were redeemed? Or Is it the memory of a place where you were broken when you were young? A bad marriage? Bad circumstances? I mean, I don't know. Today, I want you to identify what is your kryptonite. Once you grab hold of it, to reduce it to nothingness. Because the season of living a defeated life is over. It's time for us to live unstoppable lives.
To order Unstoppable You by Regina Johnson, go to Lulu.com, Google Books, and Amazon.
I'd like to welcome you back. You are listening to Refresh. This is Regina Johnson. I don't know if you've been plugged in, but we are talking about what? The elections. We're talking about, from a different twist, the response of people. If you're listening to some little slight background noise, it's because we are at Panera Bread here at 242 in the Woodlands / Conroe, Texas. I'm just going to give them a good old shout out. And so if you want to go and get you something real fresh, go ahead and grab a hold of it at Panera Bread. Hey, look, we're talking about reactions of people from the election. And so you were saying, like, right before the break, Bookie. Mm-hmm. I mean, I called you Bookie, I'm sorry. Mm-hmm. Marquise,
okay,
that's your nickname. Okay, Marquise. And so someone actually called you and reference to people, blacks that did not vote, as a coon. Okay. Hadn't heard that one in a long, long time. I don't think I've ever had anybody call me one.
Yeah.
But, I mean, I've heard that. It's crazy that someone would say that. I think that in during this election, it brought on a lot of emotional tension that could birth forth division. And three said, thank you. We welcome you to the show. Let's want to jump right in here with us.
Sure. There was something that Yolanda was saying during the break that I found to be very interesting. I remember, I think it was Wednesday morning, I woke up and I was just kind of in oblivion because I hadn't really been paying attention to any social media. But I did know that just outside of the election, I am a school teacher. And so I was getting my kids ready for some stuff we were working on. And we happened to watch a story over Ruby Bridges, which is the young girl that was integrated into a white school. She was the first black to be integrated into a white school in New Orleans. And then we also watched a story over just the 1900s and how women didn't have the right to vote.
Mm-hmm.
And so I didn't make the connection between like it being election time and those two stories until this past Friday. And it was interesting because my kids weren't able to see, you know, how times have maybe just kind of changed.
Right.
I want to say changed, but they weren't able to see, like, as blatant as the segregation was back then and the discrimination and judgment against women and then people of color.
Right.
They weren't able to see that today with just kind of some of the things that were happening on, not even necessarily the candidates, but just people in general.
So what you're saying is it just kind of all blurred together as if it was still
happening. But for my kids, they were in this place where they weren't able to see that it was still happening.
Wow.
For them, with the candidates, kind of maybe just what they picked up from home from their parents was, well, maybe this candidate is dishonest or this candidate just doesn't like women, but I don't really see any particularly racism. Like, that doesn't happen anymore.
Right.
That's over.
Right.
But it was me as a teacher trying to not overstepping my boundaries, but getting them to open their eyes to really see, well, how are the supporters of these candidates? What are the things that they are saying? How does that make you feel, even though you're only, what, 12, 13 years old?
Right.
But with them being so mature about the political process, I wanted us to have those type of discussions in class. And so some of them were able to say, well, like pointing out to back to the stories on Ruby Bridges, like, well, I saw that this guy just blatantly called this little girl like a jiggerboo.
Right.
What is that? What does that mean? And so being able to change that and give them, like, what we say today is this word.
Mm-hmm.
And they're like, oh, I have heard that word.
Right.
I do know what that is.
Right.
It is still going on. We try to cover it up, but it's still there.
Right.
And
right.
so just watching them and how they interacted with just children of other cultures and trying to get to understand, because I even had some of my Latino kids saying, like, jokingly, like, they felt like they were going to be deported or another kid's parents are shipping their family off just because of the way they voted. So being able to have that kind of discussion in the classroom, tell me how you feel. What do you really think? What do you know about the election process? And a lot of them, I know this is kind of getting off subject, but we're saying that even at 12 and 13 years old, they felt like their voice didn't matter. Like when I turn 18, even if I vote, it's not going to change anything.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But that's not off topic. I mean, that's something that we really need to deal with every day. It is how do you make a difference and how do you let your voice be known but not cause a rip?
Right.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
How do you keep things positive? How do you keep things progressing in the right direction?
Right, right.
And that's where we are today. You know, it's done.
Yeah.
We have a president in office.
Mm-hmm.
How do we be supportive of our president through prayer?
Mm-hmm.
How do we, because it's bigger than us.
It is. Yeah.
It is bigger.
Yeah.
It is bigger than me.
Right.
It is about my children's children and their children's children and my children's friends and my children's teachers and my children's pastor and all of those things. It is about us fully as a country all together.
Right.
And we need to make sure that we're not causing more division than there already is.
I hear you. I hear what you're saying, but you know what? It's like when Wednesday rolled around, there were people. I mean, it was like almost like a life or death like sentence, you know.
It felt like that.
That took place, you know. And it was like, but for me, it did not feel like that. It really didn't. I mean, I was like, because for me, and I'm just speaking for me, not from a being a Republican or from a Democrat. But I take the stance that I always stand on, and it has nothing to do, is that I'm a Christian.
Right.
I operate under a whole new, different type of economic system.
Right.
And so I'm like going, you know what? I trust him. It doesn't matter who was voted.
Yes.
I mean, I'm talking about from the beginning. And I didn't just get here to this place, like, overnight. Whenever I try to pick a side, that's where the chaos comes in.
Right.
But when I know that really the true goal is for us to all operate in oneness and unity, I love the fact, like, I've traveled out of the country, and I know that we're not, like, fans, like, in other, you know, parts of the world, but I love the fact of being able to say that I am an American, and I love all of what that is supposed to stand for, and I feel like it is my job to do my part to make sure that it is what we, this country was created to truly represent and not just, but be.
Let me tell you a cool thing. This morning I was watching sports. It's Sunday, so it's NFL time. You know how that rolls,
okay,
right?
Okay.
How you play today, and we whooped them 44.
Oh, that's scary.
We did our thing.
Go Cowboys.
No. Only because they're part of my fantasy football. But anyway,
right.
So I'm watching TNT today, and I watched this newscaster, and he said the most profound thing. It just, I thought it was phenomenal. I was like, you know what? God, do your thing. That was my, when I turned it off, I was like, yes! He is doing his thing. He said when he was going through his torment about the election, he said, this is the first year. I've been voting for 42 years. And this is the first time that I've done a write-in ballot because I was torn and I did not know what to do.
Mm-hmm.
So we're not alone.
Right.
That's the thing.
Right.
You know?
Right.
He said, I did a write-in and he said, you know, what he did. And he said, and then the verdict came back, everything came back. And he said, I was so disappointed in how things turned out.
Mm-hmm.
But I think he would have been disappointed either way.
Right, because
I mean?
He did a write-in.
Because he did a write-in.
Right.
But he said, you know what? At the end of the day, he said, I am a Christian.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, yes.
On TNT?
That's the on TNT.
On TNT.
I will show it to you. I have the clip. He said this on TNT. He said, I'm a Christian. And he said, I believe that. I don't know if you guys know his name, but his name is Jesus.
Oh, come on.
No, he didn't.
I'm telling you.
No, he did not. On TNT?
On TNT.
Oh, wow.
He said he stopped the broadcast.
And
that's what I'm talking about.
Right.
So God knows what he's doing.
Right.
So that's my thing. He said, and I believe that in the end of the day, Jesus is in control.
Right.
And
right.
He said, and I will continue to pray for my president, whoever it is.
That's exactly what we're
and
doing.
And do what I need to do.
Right.
But it didn't change the fact that he was disappointed.
No.
But it did not change the fact that he was a Christian and he stood on his belief.
And it doesn't change the fact of how he's going to
respond. And he gave Jesus a shout out.
And it doesn't change the fact of how he's going to respond.
Yes.
See, one thing is that you can be, okay, again, from a Christian perspective, the Word of God actually says, it says to be, you can be angry, but it tells you to sin not. What does that mean?
Right.
That means that I cannot go for President Trump, or I cannot go for Hillary. But it says for me to sin not. I can be frustrated or angry, but I don't have the right to look around in the room and call you out of your name,
right.
Or, you know, whether you're black, white, Mexican. I don't have the right to crack jokes about, like, we need to line them all up and put them on.
Can I ask you a question? How did you feel about when he said those things, though? What did that make you feel like?
When
Donald Trump was saying racist comments, or when he was saying things that were hatred during his run.
Honestly, can I really be true? Things that fall from man's mouth does not affect me as it used to when I was younger, before I knew that God was my sole source.
Yeah.
I think that people say crazy and stupid things, and they may mean it from the depths of their heart.
Mm-hmm.
But the Word of God says to me that no weapon that is formed against me shall prosper. So I don't get caught up in those fleshly moves anymore. Because I know people that say stuff just to get a reaction out of you. Some people, like what you were saying, felt like they're entitled to really just let it all hang out. But in actuality, you don't. Because guess what you're doing? You're tearing up a country that you did not play a major role in building. And so I know, like, before we went, I don't know if we were on the break or going to the break. You know, you look back and you think about, like, Martin Luther King. Right? And he's talking about have a dream. He was not talking about a dream where we still run around calling each other out of our names.
No.
He was talking about a dream. He said, where, like, one day my sons and daughters and yours and everyone in there, we're holding hands. And some people think, oh, that's just like some kind of little fairy tale, something that could never happen. But it is possible. But it takes a generation that is able to move past our emotions, past what people say. Because I'm going to tell you what, it's just words.
Yeah.
It's just words. The Word of God is clearly, greater is he that is within me than he is in the world.
But the Word also says life and death
Aaron,
is in the power of the tongue.
But it doesn't make me a nigger.
No, it does not.
No, it doesn't.
No.
It's just that I am a child of God that is, and you know, I mean, I just am. So he can say words, but my words also have power.
True.
Call me a nigger, but I can tell you I'm a child of the King.
Yeah.
Call me a coon, and I can tell you what, that
yeah.
I am more than a conqueror. You understand what I'm saying?
Yeah.
And it's like my perspective, and I know, like, a lot of people think that my perspective changed because of my husband. My husband's actually white, for those of you that don't know. Yeah, but there are people on the air that don't know. But my perspective didn't change then. My perspective changed in the house of a black male and a black female who taught me not to see color. Now, I don't know what their issue was, but they taught me not to. Go ahead, sugar. I can see. Yeah, you've been doing it like a couple of times.
What you just said was very interesting when it comes to saying, like, don't see color. Because, I mean, clearly they're different, even just sitting here
right,
at the circle. Yeah, there are several different hues,
and
so it's almost, you can't not see the color.
But when I say color, you have to reference what I'm saying is like black
right.
or white.
No, absolutely.
Or whatever.
And so,
I know that there is a way to not do that. Do you ever hear me tell that story about rolling over one day in the bed next to my husband? It just popped in my head like, oh my God, he's white.
Wow.
How did I not see that? Or my children growing up and they're going, Mama, my dad, I look like dad, and this one looks like dad, and that one looks like dad. And they looked around and finally realized at 10, 12 years old, because those discussions didn't go on in our nucleus or in our ecosystem. They didn't even know I was black. They didn't know I was black. That's possible.
Right.
Go ahead.
What I was going to say is, because once it gets addressed, because somebody's going to pop the bubble, and they're going to let you know, like we've talked about before, like choose, check a box, are you black or are you white?
Right.
But for my kids, there's something, I forgot who said it, I think Marquis said it earlier off the air about being the change.
Mm-hmm.
And then I think it was something else that you recently said too. When I woke up Wednesday morning, I was like, no matter who won, I still have a duty.
You have
a
duty
in my classroom.
That's right.
But not just in the classroom, just as a person in general.
Yeah. Right.
To continue to push towards not just unification here in just the
but
world.
But changing your mind.
Exactly.
Yes.
And so I love having the chance to, like, break those barriers with my kids, because it breaks the barriers
for me.
Right.
And it causes me to want to reach out to people that I know are nothing like me and have a conversation with them to show my kids this is what it looks like.
Yeah.
To show myself this is what it looks like. Even with my daughter or like my brothers and sisters that I go to church with, it's like this is what we're called to do, is to unify. If nobody else is going to do it, if they're not going to do it in a political
realm, that's what we're supposed to do. The natural reaction in man, the natural reaction is to recoil. The natural reaction is to respond in an ungodly way.
Right.
The natural reaction is to defend yourself. Somebody said something, throw up, you want to. But it was just like what I was sharing earlier today. When I backed up and this woman is like all on my back, I'm like, God, I turn around and I say, excuse me. In my mind, I'm thinking, you owe me an excuse. You all up on my back, breathing on the back of my neck. You owe me the excuse me. But then quickly in my mind, because I'm conditioning my mind to think like Christ, the Lord, he told me, like, it doesn't matter whether she said it or not. It doesn't matter her response is right or not. How are you going to respond?
Let me tell you that. So I took my husband to the doctor on Thursday. He's been having really bad headaches. And we were in the elevator. And I like to speak to everybody. Like, probably overly speak to folks.
Right.
And they're probably pleased by speaking to me. And so I'm in the elevator, and I'm like, hey. And they just kind of like, you know, kind of going, like, give me a.
Yeah, you're
like,
doing a lot.
Right? Or not even speak at all.
Right.
And so then it quickly, for a split second, popped in my mind, like, on the next floor, I'm not even going to speak.
Right.
But then I'm like, yes, I am. I don't care if they speak back or not.
Right.
That's me.
That's what I think that we have to do in this season. It's like, we're going to have many opportunities to respond poorly.
Yeah.
But how are we going to respond? Hey, look, we're out of time in this segment. We'll be back in a few seconds. You've been listening to Refresh. This is Regina Johnson. I'm your host. Be right back.
The word of God is true. And if he says that he will never leave us, if he says that he is perfecting the things concerning us, then you best believe that he is. We serve an awesome God who loves us more than we could ever imagine. So to my brothers and my sisters, let's gut it up. Because the outcome is going to be great.
Don't miss Refresh with Pastor Regina Johnson, every Sunday, 7 p.m. Eastern, 6 p.m. Central.
Fell for your first day that I met you. Never dreamed that I ever could forget you. But black and white make a mess when it turns to gray.
I guess I relax, like I'm living for the wrong reason. Through the seasons, trying to fall for you, but then they put me on blast. It's like I try to speak my mind because I know that I'm his. And yep, I try to speak my mind, but it don't fly with them kids. Man, if I'm not talking about the newest Nikes or releases, they put the mute on me. I can't speak about my Jesus like I'm living for him. I'm slipping to sin, I turn around and make the amends. I try to fit in, I mess it up and stumble again. I'm taking this pen and writing everything so I remember just how sweet that it is. Yeah, man, I got issues, I can't even lie. My only saving grace is knowing I got you inside. I'm done with saving face, I don't got a thing to hide. So don't leave me alone, keep coming day and night.
Quick question, what is your kryptonite? You know, kryptonite, like from the Superman movie. Little pieces of krypton that will fall to the earth and then Superman will come in contact with it. Kryptonite. Okay. Small pieces of your past falling into your future, robbing you of your destiny. Kryptonite? What is yours? Is the person down the street, you know, so conveniently always is willing to remind you of who you used to be before you were redeemed? Or is it the memory of a place where you were broken when you were young? A bad marriage? Bad circumstances? I mean, I don't know. Today, I want you to identify what is your kryptonite. Once you grab hold of it, you reduce it to nothingness. Because the season of living a defeated life is over. It's time for us to live unstoppable lives.
To order Unstoppable You by Regina Johnson, go to Lulu.com, Google Books, and Amazon.
Hey, look, if you've not been plugged in, I'm glad you plugged in right now. This is Regina Johnson. You are listening to Refresh. We are discussing... We're discussing the election. It's not that I was confused on what it is, but we've been discussing how to respond, how to act, what's been said, so on and so forth. But I want to bring Anthrice back in on us, with us, and just kind of share your hearts. Hey, look, if you have friends that are not plugged in and listening, be sure and give them a call. Your input is important. But Anthrice, go ahead. You were talking. You were sharing before you went.
Oh, yeah. All I was just saying was that tensions have been high, I think, for my generation to be able to see it, maybe for the past couple of years, and they kind of really just come to a head most recently, especially with the election. And so it's really brought to my attention what my part is. No, I can't probably make change within politics, but I know how to make a change in my community. Mm-hmm. I know how to bring people together where I am, and from there, just prayerfully, it will just grow and expand, not just with me in my career with my kids, but in my home with my parents, in my church, when I'm at the grocery store, when I'm just out and about, being able to take the extra step, and it shouldn't even be the extra step, to greet someone or to ask them how they're doing genuinely and wonder and just have some dialogue with somebody, because that could be the spark, even if it's not with that person, but somebody that's watching and expecting it to go another way.
Yeah.
There have been, I can't even count them on my hands how many times I've shocked my own students by doing something different than what they've expected or have experienced with other teachers. And I don't know if it's because I'm Black, I don't know if it's because I'm a woman, or just I'm young, I'm not sure. But it is something that they have not experienced before.
I think it's because you're a Christian, and I think it's because you have a heart.
Yeah.
It is.
And I think it's because a lot of kids don't expect to have grace. We don't give a whole lot of grace anymore, or compassion. And so when they see compassion and grace, and then I get it at home,
they see it given towards
everybody.
Everybody.
It's not a particular student
yes.
mm-hmm. or kid or teacher. It's
right.
Everybody gets the same.
I love it.
Right. And so it causes them, I see them step out and start interacting with kids that they usually didn't interact with. Or they would tell me at the beginning of the year, I don't like him. Or, I don't
right.
know him. I don't want to talk
right.
to her.
Mm.
And now it's like, well, in here you don't really have a choice. It's
right.
going to affect your grade.
Okay, well, I'm going to pull you guys back
yeah,
over
yeah.
to where, like, really we're just, you know, like,
mm-hmm.
with the campaign. Okay, so we saw a lot of things happen. We heard a lot of things happen. You made a comment just a few seconds ago, and you said, I can't change government. But, you know, it's so funny. You're an educator. You can. You can actually inspire someone to be the next,
mm-hmm.
you know, whatever. You know, bill writer, the next, you know,
Senate seat.
Mm-hmm. You can. It starts from this place right here. So I have about three ladies here that are part of the show. So do you feel like since Hillary Clinton didn't get in that, you know, you lost like some, yeah, you feel slighted as a woman. You lost some leverage of, like, I had a gentleman just before I came to do shows, like, going, well, for you. You know, like, you know, it is still, you know, where women are underpaid and you know, all this stuff. And I was like, thank you, brother. But it is some sisters just rocking the boardroom,
mm-hmm.
like, right now.
And
so
she said, Hillary said something in her concession speech that didn't, I thought it would strike me, but it didn't. And she said, we still haven't, she was disappointed because women still hadn't broke through the highest glass ceiling.
Mm-hmm.
I was like, what makes this the highest glass
yeah.
ceiling, the American presidency? Because I don't see it as that way.
Right.
I see women taking high stride
right,
in making impact and
mm-hmm.
having influence.
Right.
And this, I don't see this as necessarily
as a high.
You know
right.
what's so funny? Even to just kind of put things in perspective, definitely women are not at the bottom of the total
right.
I'm going to tell you, there's more women CEOs than you would imagine.
That's
there
exactly
are.
What I was saying.
One of the CEOs of my company is a woman.
Right.
And the hierarchy is really like this. It's white male, then black female, white female, black man.
Wow.
Honest. I mean, if you really kind of put it in perspective, women are above the black man. It is what it is.
Right.
We got a whole lot of power to do a whole lot of stuff.
Well, there are a lot of people that still
have
believe
more obstacles
that we are shunned. Because, I mean, like, I was in a real conversation. I was just finally going, you know what, stop. Because clearly you've not been paying attention to the statistics. So I think we're going to be all right as women. No.
I don't know.
I just think that he doesn't even realize. There are a lot of people that still, I think it just depends on where you are. You know, like if you live in Chicago, New York, or even inside of Houston or Dallas, you might have the opportunity to be exposed to women that are really, that are movers and shakers. And actually, I was even sharing with him, I said, let me tell you something, they would get rid of every guy to hang on to that female that is, you know, calling those shots and making things happen. It's about making it happen. It doesn't matter if you're a male or a female. And then now women are demanding, they are demanding and seeing a turnaround in pay and, you know, because they are valuable. So they can negotiate their own deal.
You know what, I was just kind of thinking about the comment that you made and what he said to you. And maybe it's because it was from a place, a very real place inside himself.
Right.
Maybe it was something that he was dealing with because I had a conversation on Friday with someone that I work with and he said that he had asked his male counterpart, why are you voting the way you're voting? Why are you voting for Trump or why are you voting for this person? And they just flat out said, because I will not see a woman running my country. And it had nothing to do with race. It didn't have nothing to do with the it had nothing to do with their political
right.
views. This is a Caucasian male that said this to me.
Uh-huh.
And he said, I was so disappointed. And I had to
with
go look
comment?
At my, with that comment.
Yeah.
He said, I was extremely disappointed. He said, because I know a lot of women who will rock things.
Right.
And he said, for them to use that as their only reason
right.
not to vote for a candidate, not
right.
because of their views, not because of what they stand
right.
for,
because you're a woman.
Just because they were a woman.
Right.
So
maybe
you
they just
would be
really
surprised.
Don't realize yeah. that there are a lot of women.
I had a discussion with a few of my coworkers who are coaches. And we, you know, we're talking, and a few of them said, hey, you know, I'm not voting for Hillary simply because she is a woman.
Yep.
And I'm sitting there, I'm like, wow. I just can't see a woman being, you know, the leader of a country. I'm like, wow.
You would be surprised.
I think that just goes with.
Bad.
I mean, you got to take a look at yourself. You got to have like a reality check, a manhood check.
Mm-hmm.
Something's going on there. Bro.
Right.
You know, that has to be something.
Right. Go ahead. Oh, now we're heating you up. Okay.
But you know what? As it.
Oh, now you want to be a candidate.
It's funny though. It kind of made me like, you know, and I'll be honest with you guys. Like during the early process of the election, like in there, January or March, you know, I'm kind of thinking, I'm like, well. Wasn't mature enough, you know, or I was kind of dealing with some of those issues, like presidency, you know, with the woman being not blatantly.
Would she be emotional?
I'm good, pastor, I'm good, you're my shepherd, I love you, we're good, I'm sitting there, I'm like, whoa, that's something going on there, man, that's not equal opportunity. You know,
right.
And I think as men, if we do suffer from that, you know what I'm saying, if we do have that issue, I do some manhood checks, you know, and ask, are we comfortable with who we are?
Why not?
You know?
Oh, you're good now.
I'm
straight.
I'm good.
He's straight.
Yeah, I'm good.
I must have preached the right sermon. That's when they whooped that right around.
Yeah.
Wow. Go ahead, Yolanda, you can hear her share.
No, I was just sharing, like, that was a tough thing. But I'm going to say this. I think fear, what we were talking about before,
mm-hmm,
fear
mm-hmm.
drives our emotions and fear drives our actions.
Mm-hmm.
We have got to be, we're supposed to be the United States of America and be and have so much power. Why are we so fearful about everything that happens? We do have a voice and we do have a democratic society where things do go through votes. It has to go through a hierarchy of things to be able to go into effect.
I think that people think that we say we have a democratic society, but in actuality, because we saw some things during this past, not election, but during the term of even...
That's happened through every term
with,
of every president.
Okay, I'm just trying to say what we've heard of. Okay, all right. You don't have to defend the brother. He's already...
I'm not defending him.
He
I'm just
his,
saying it's
he
happening.
He did his thing. But, you know, where they really felt more like that was being removed. And just because we watched certain laws literally be shifted to accommodate the situation. And so... and that wasn't anything made up, and it wasn't against his presidency. We saw that. And so when you see those types of things, you're like going, really, do we have a democratic, you know, do we have a democratic society? So people are afraid. I think that's one of the things that happens. Go ahead.
If I could say something, I think, like, in its truest form, as far as democracy, I don't think we have that because it's based off of the popular vote.
Right.
You know, and so
that is true.
I think it is necessary to have representatives that are gonna make decisions for us at the same time having a vote. But
well, it's not based off of the popular vote, it's
right,
based
it's
off of the
elected officials.
Right.
And
right.
So even with that being said, I think it's safe to have representatives but also to have democracy implemented because I mean, it's kind of scary to think about because you could have any random person run for president.
Mm-hmm.
And here's the thing, though, because we have with Trump, he was kind of like seen like as a random guy. And he won. So I think there's, it's beauty in democracy, and there's also beauty in republic. And then we got to have both of them. Like, I'm
good. Okay. Right.
I can go in.
Right. I was just gonna say
that. I mean, I guess what still kind of has me perplexed is if we have this popular vote where we have the opportunity to elect these officials, but we have these representatives. Why are they not gonna go? Why do they have the opportunity or the right to go against what the popular vote is?
Yes,
that's the problem.
And so that is where I am confused and am unable to kind of have those conversations I want to have. Like, that doesn't make sense to me.
Right. But you're there representing me.
Can I add on to that?
I think because government does not trust the average American citizen
to make a good,
choice over who's going to run the country. I mean, that's just plainly obvious.
Happened.
Yeah. I've been researching that. You see, it's the news. But truthfully, though, I think that's.
So let's talk about the things that we know that our president now stands for, the things that he wants to implement. What are your views about those things? About,
I do wonder what he's really serious about and what he said to kind of rally people to come and vote for him.
Which happens with
every
candidate.
Absolutely.
So that's my question too. What we say making America great again,
mm-hmm.
what really are you going to do? You know,
well,
what do you have control to do?
First of all, let me help you. Okay, you're not the host. How you going like, what's up with us? I'm sitting over here in AUKUS. I'm feeling like some kind of process has been. I'm just kidding. Go ahead. You're right. So how do we make America better? Go.
Unification.
And he has spoke on that since he has become the president-elect, that he does plan on bringing unification to the country. But how?
Yes,
question, because there has been so much division.
But you know what, I will say this. I was listening to his speech, and he did say, you know, he wants to be the president of every American citizen. So,
mm-hmm.
I mean, just kind of going back to the unification deal. I mean, and everybody's been saying you got to pray for your president. I truly believe that.
Yeah.
You know, we got to pray for him. People are terrified. People are scared. And how do we help implement Make America Great Again?
Right.
You know.
I think that starts with individuals.
Yeah, exactly.
I really do.
Yeah.
It's not like one person's going to be able to just implement this program.
Right,
it's going to push everybody in this direction, and oh, we're singing Kumbaya around the fire.
Right.
I think that we all have to take responsibility to make America great
again.
And you know what, too? I think we put a whole lot of pressure on one man of the time. We always put all that burden. That one person didn't put us in this position, ever.
Right.
If there was a historical track record or a historical chain of events that caused us to be where we are year over year, election over election, that has caused things to transpire. So we should expect them to stand on their word and do what they say they're going to do, right? Because that's why they get elected.
Right.
But we shouldn't expect that they're going to be able to change the world overnight. That's,
right.
They can't.
It doesn't happen. Yeah,
like
with
that.
No term, with no president.
With
right.
no term,
mm-hmm.
right. So we have to step back as
mm-hmm.
a people and say, what is realistic?
Right,
and
right.
stop
to
putting
be accomplished.
Unrealistic expectations on a man, because in
right.
the end, or a person,
right.
whether it's been, he
whether
is
it,
just
yeah.
a man,
right.
and he still has to answer to a House
right.
and a Senate.
Right.
So he can't just go and change things overnight. It
right.
is still, again,
right. Right.
a democracy, a democratic
right.
society, where
right.
I say, this is my... This is what I think needs to happen,
right.
and I need you guys to stand by me.
Right.
And we
right.
have, that's where the unity needs to come
yeah.
in.
Like, what do we do, exactly, like, what do we do now? Like, when he asks for things to move, or you know,
then we
how
go,
do we see
guess what,
right.
the House is open.
Yes,
we
it is.
Can go visit the House
yeah.
and the Senate, and
yeah.
we need to make our voice known
right.
in those positions, and we don't. We
right.
sit back and we gossip and we talk about
yeah.
it amongst
right.
one another, and
right.
when it doesn't
yeah.
go our way,
we right.
react. We,
yeah, react.
So we need to understand what it means to be a part of
right.
change. Being a part of change doesn't mean running your
no.
way.
No.
One thing that, and we're about to wrap up right here, we're running up just a couple more minutes, but what you saying, change, I think in order for us to be able to see true change, not just the change that we as individuals would like to see for our life, for our family, for our this,
mm-hmm.
for our race, or whatever, is that really we have to assess our own hearts.
Yes.
And that is so, I mean, that is one of the main places where we enter in. And if you want to see change, you have to really assess your own life first and not expect something out of someone else that you're not willing to give yourself.
Sure.
You know, we can talk politics all day long, but politics is not the end-all, be-all.
Right.
I am a firm believer, and I stand on it, because I know that's the only thing that's not been wavering is that Jesus Christ is still King of Kings. And so we're going to
yeah.
stand on that, and we're going to believe it, and we're going to believe that prayer changes things, and that if we pray all that our president is not, that he will become, and we will do less talking and more praying. And we'll condition our hearts by faith to receive. This year as being one of the best years, the next four, not because he's in office, but because God never left office.
Yes.
Hey, look, guys, I thank you so much for being a part of the show today. Thank you, Yolanda and 3C. Marquise, thank you always, Sasha, for producing a wonderful show. Quick shout out to Princess Cooper, who is thebomb.com. Hey, look, and also I want you guys to plug in and meet me there on Facebook, Twitter, that's Journey Strong, and Instagram. We are out of time. See you next week. Same bat time, same bat channel. You've been listening to Regina Johnson on Refresh.